Matt Chamberlain, Gary Novak, Victor Andrizzo, 2 episodes, Brain, the classic Brain episode, Sean Pelton. These episodes and more exclusively available only on Patreon. Patreon.com/IHTPod, IHTPOD. Listen, $5 a month will get you access to the entire library. Right now, there's 150 episodes only available on Patreon. Those names I mentioned, those are just some, obviously, of the 150. $5 a month gets you access to the whole library. Join now. You help support the show. I keep making episodes. It's a win-win. Official I'd Hit That merchandise is available. Go to idhitthatpodcast.com, ihtpod.com. Either one will get you there. Hoodies, t-shirts, coffee mug, get it. Everything 20% off right now. Support the show. Patreon, merch. You can donate money directly via PayPal. idhitthatpodcast@gmail.com. Spell it all out. idhitthatpodcast@gmail.com. You can give whatever the value is, proportionate to what you believe you've gotten. But does that make sense at all? I hope it does. I don't know. But please, kick in. Help keep the show going. I'll keep making them. Thank you.
No, it is what it is.
I was just down there a couple of weeks ago. First week of July. July 1st.
In Austin or somewhere else?
I was in New Braunfels. So just,
yeah, it's close.
Yeah, close. Yeah, 40 minutes away.
You didn't hit me up.
So it was a super quick in and out.
I'm just fine.
Yeah, I would have hit you up though.
Yeah, I'm just fucking with you.
I was coming from Portland. I was in Portland doing some gigs with my ex, whatever the fuck she is. And
all right, hold on. see, stop. See what I mean? This is it's all good shit.
Yeah,
see what
I mean? That's stuff I won't talk about.
I just see all the potential.
I won't talk about that.
And everything anyone says, I go, wait. That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
No, we use that. Okay. I'm in Nashville with Keo Stroud.
Sorry.
this is the late night edition. It is. We're coming up on the 10 o'clock hour.
It's the quiet storm.
And I'm going to shut the phone off. Do the thing. Wait, was that? You know that. But yeah, I did. Okay,
yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Keo Stroud, who, by the way, I mean, I guess we talked on the phone.
Yeah.
But I think I was living already in Texas when that happened, I believe.
You were, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so it was like in the last year and a half.
Yes, yep.
And we finally met in person last night. You play every Monday.
Correct.
At?
The Local. In the Nashville. Local. Yep. It's literally called The Local.
Yep. I know, I was almost waiting for you to finish the sentence. You're like, at The Local. Like, right.
Yeah, no, it was called The Country before that.
Right. Yeah. Well, I was taken there. And no, okay. No. We have a mutual friend, and it was perfect timing. And it was great to finally get to meet you. And,
I was saying, yeah.
Totally. Get to see you play, hear you play. And then we can make this happen tonight. It's perfect, man. Perfect.
Yeah, it worked out great. Yes, it happens to be that yesterday was the only day I'm working because no one likes me this week.
That's so, what I've heard this about you. You made a lot of enemies.
I've made some enemies this week, so no one's calling me this week. But they suffered through yesterday. So thanks for coming out, by the way. That was a little bit different deal, too, because we were doing... I mean, you've probably seen before, but you kind of get to see like a proper Nashville showcase.
Yeah.
Where like... a guy is singing in front of literally like the music industry, like the heads of the labels, the heads of the booking agencies, management companies. My buddy Will Jones is signed to Universal as a writer, but there's been a bit of a, I don't know, bidding war. I'm not sure what you call that, but you know, basically people, they want to sign him, and he is, he's making smart moves, if that makes any sense. He's playing a long game, not just like excited that someone likes him. So he's just like, cool, well, I'm going to keep doing these things until the right thing comes around for me. And then he said for us, which I thought was kind of cool, because he was like, he wants to keep the same band. Everybody else has gigs already. but he wants to make it get to a point where he can get everybody to stop to quit their normal gigs and be in his band and do a thing. And
does that mean that band that I saw? Is that what you're getting?
The band that you saw last night, yeah.
So you're saying that last night, because let's just be clear on a couple of things. So the first thing, that was the showcase, the first part.
Yeah.
And then I noticed that then when you did what you usually do on a Monday night, it was only the guitar player who switched out.
Yeah.
So in other words, so let's just focus for a minute on the band for the showcase. In other words, you're saying all those guys have gigs.
Yeah.
But this guy, if he wanted to, if it got to that point, you're saying everybody would just go off with him?
Because we've been doing that gig on Mondays for 2 years now, and we all have fun. And we've become like really good buddies. Minus me and Brandon, the bass player, we've seen everyone else get married and have kids, which is kind of funny. Right. We're like, oh man, yeah, I remember that. I remember having kids and getting married and all that shit, you know? And those guys are they're late 20s, early 30s.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, they look old.
Yeah, that's the thing. I did not, okay.
Brandon and I are in our 40s, and then the rest of the band are in they're 28 and 30, I think. But they all have other gigs, and it's all kind of been talked about that, you know, if this thing takes off, we would kind of go off and support that thing. And we have a band with Sam. When Sam's playing with us, we call ourselves the Denim Daddies, which is the stupidest name in the world, but it's better than the name that was given to us, which was the Local Yokels. Yeah, we almost became the Y'all Stars at one point in time, but I thought it was pretty funny.
I
thought Y'all Stars was good. So
kind of surprised no one else was using it. If that makes sense.
Same thing with Denim Daddies. We're like, we think someone else probably has that, but we don't know yet. It's so funny. Normally, before we play on Mondays, Dave Gibson and I'm flaking on the guy's name right now. He's gonna kill me if he hears this. Oh, Greg Crow. They play before us, just a duo, and they've written like a ton of hit country songs, like just iconic country tunes. And they have a guy that hangs with them. I don't know if he's their manager or not, whatever. But he came up to me one day and he goes, "Man, so why did you guys change the name from Local Yokels to Denim Daddies? Doesn't that sound kind of sexual?" And I was like, "No, it doesn't." You know, I was like, no part of that at all.
It could be a name, a title of a porn.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's what it he's insinuating.
Which we could probably score that.
Denim Daddies 5. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? That kind of vibe. You know, well, you might know my work from them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, we could do that. Maybe it'd be some of the best music ever in porn, so...
Hey, man, I mean, you listen, sex sells. I mean, let's go with that.
We may have hit now, that might be it for us.
I think so. Now, hold on a second, because I want to jump right to comedy for a minute, because we have a mutual friend or mutual friends who actually mentioned, they're like, dude, you got to ask him about the whole, apparently there was a Darius Rucker story. So I know nothing, but I'd like to get right to it.
Okay, so it's pretty good, and it's just the one I'm thinking about, because there's a few, but this is the one. So I'm in Idaho, I'm in Challis, Idaho, and I'm subbing for this band called the Randy Rogers Band, Texas country band. Great dudes, like some of my best friends. I'll still sub and play drums or go out and play percussion.
You're wearing the hat.
I'm wearing the hat, yeah.
By the way, he mentions Randy Rogers, he's wearing the hat.
I'm wearing the hat, yeah. So we're in Challis, Idaho, and it was the second time I'd sub for them. Their drummer was having kids, and so I came out into sub for him, and we've been doing that for years now. And so we're at this festival called the Braun Brothers Reunion Festival, and it's like in the middle of nowhere, and it's like the top of this hill or whatever you want to call it. Hill, yes, mountain. And there's a golf course, but then there's this open field, so they have this festival, and literally thousands of people come to this festival. It's a Texas country or red dirt festival. So it's like Randy Rogers, you know, Wade Bowen, Mickey and the Motorcars, Reckless Kelly, you know, Josh Abbott, all those names. And then they'll have guys like Rodney Crowell, and they'll have Ratty Foster and all that. So anyway, we're headlining one night, and Randy just goes, "Man, give it up for a set on drums, Darius Rucker. Don't call him Hootie. He don't like that shit." Is what he says, right? So, and we all laugh because it's just funny.
And also, you're thinking, who would know the name anyway? Is it part of that? Like,
yeah, to, like,
who's, in, yeah. Who really believes
who,
that?
Yeah, who believes that?
Right.
So we finish playing, and then we go down the hill to the bars, and everybody's going, "Oh my God, Darius, Darius! Oh my God, man, it's so cool! I didn't realize you played drums." This one lady was like, "I'm not sure if you remember me or not, but like you came to our radio station. I just love what you're doing for country music." And I was like, "Oh fuck," right? So we're sitting there, and she's like, "You know, it's just amazing. It's so cool to be here with you right now."
And oh,
I
was like, you can't disappoint.
And I was like, I looked there, and I was like, "Yeah, you like shots?" And she goes, "Yes." I was like, "Four." Okay. And I just like, I killed two shots, and I gave her two shots, and I just walked out the door, right? So then I go down to another bar, like, okay, there's nobody here. This will be good. So I'm here just having a thing, and this girl comes up to me, and I'm talking to her, and she's like, "Are you really Darius Rucker?" And I was like, "Absolutely not." And she goes, "Okay, cool. All right, cool. That's cool. All right, I'm glad. We, you know, let's just talk about whatever." And I was like, "Yeah, you know, we're just sitting there." And then this lady comes up to me, and she says, "You have such a beautiful voice. I can't believe you didn't sing tonight."
Oh, God, man. Everybody.
That lasted for 2 days.
That you hung out there.
Yeah, I was there for... Yeah.
You were getting recognized all weekend, basically, as yep. Darius
Rucker. I mean, it was population uno negro. I was the only black guy there, so...
And everybody is like, yeah. "Hey, look.
There he is."
And these are these are just the ones who are actually coming up and saying something.
Yes.
In other words.
Yeah, right? Let's, exactly.
We got to factor in all the people who are like, "I'm not going to bother
I'm not going to bother them, yeah.
Let's let Darius just live a normal life, and we'll just, you know..."
It was funny.
And then, but like, they're doing, but there he is.
There he is.
But
there he is. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So, by the last day I'm there, like, word kind of gets out that Randy was joking. And so, it's the last night, so there's a big jam at the thing, and who cares? I'm shit-faced. I'm just beyond recognizable as myself. And, they were like, "Hey man, go play drums." I was like, "Cool." So I sit down and I'm playing drums or playing some tunes, and it's going well for as how intoxicated I was. And as we're playing, my buddy comes up and goes, "By the way, his name is Keo, not Darius." And I was like, "Yeah." And then as we're playing, you know, I'm still playing, we're playing some like Merle Haggard song, and you know, it's going well. And I look over and people were like going, they're looking at me kind of weird. And I was like, "Oh man, it's bad. I'm playing really bad. Like really bad. I must be, oh," I'm like, "Oh no." Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And then the song ends and I get up and I realize I'm playing a left-handed drum kit. I'm so out of my mind that I don't realize that the drum set's backwards.
What? Are you not kidding? You're not kidding me.
I am not kidding.
You played a left-handed kit and just didn't even...
It was just like, "Oh, this hand goes here, that goes there. Let's go."
Whoa.
Whoa. Yeah, the drummer from Reckless Kelly is left-handed.
And you didn't even go open-handed on that.
I didn't even think about it. I was just like, drums, me, play, just song.
Cross hands, that's what we do. This is just what we do. Right.
Wow.
And are you telling me that you didn't pull it off, though, because the people were looking and because it didn't sound right?
Oh, no, I pulled it off. They were looking because they were going, "We know you're not left-handed.
What the
fuck?" And we know that you're shit-faced.
Holy shit.
I was like, yeah, it was pretty, you know.
Interesting.
Not to tell, like, super shit-faced story, but, you know, it is nighttime.
I do like those stories.
But it's funny. I mean, it happened. It happened. It is documented. Like, people saying...
It's real.
It's a real thing. So, but yeah, that was so fun. That was like...
I love it.
That was about 14 years ago. And it was so... Such a great time. Every time I go out and play with Randy and the guys, there's always some sort of fun...
Right.
Fun shenanigans that we have. Like, we go to Key West every year. There's a Texas music festival down there, Mile Zero. So we go down there. I've only gone twice. They've gone a few times, but I went the past couple of years, and it was great. Like, it's just fun. just fun times, a bunch of bands, and everybody's like happy, kumbaya, you know, Texas kumbaya, whatever.
Right.
And then we all, you know, then we all just grab some
parts. Is that really different from a Tennessee kumbaya? I mean, is there a different? Go ahead.
A little bit, you know. And this is, I mean, Nashville is amazing, and I will say this: one of the coolest things about Nashville is that I always say this, that it's a community, not a competition. So you know, everybody's here. We're all friends, but everybody here has lives too. So like, we're all, you know, kids, wives, and everybody does, you know, I say we live, you know, far apart, but we actually live pretty close to each other. But people are busy. Like, the industry is here, so you're busy. Down in Texas, the industry isn't there, so people have their road gigs, and so there's that. But then, like, when they're home, they're home. Like, they're not gigging. So, I mean, some of them are, but, you know, they're not gigging, they're not doing sessions or trying to, you know, booking rights or whatever. They're there to hang out. So when they're home, and when I'm down in Texas, when those guys are home, we all just go hang out. It's like, it's homies. It's like, it's not like, oh yeah, man, let's go. Yeah, after my right, man, let's get together. It's like, hey, man, it's 11 o'clock. What are you doing? Let's go. You know, let's go have lunch. Let's go have a couple drinks. Let's play some Golden Tee, which I'm horrible at. You know, let's go have a grand time. So it's kind of it's a different vibe. The hang to me with the Texas guys than it is the Nashville guys. Nashville is just business. I mean, I say just business, but you know, it's definitely a business oriented place. Where you have, the industry is here.
Well, it's also, and also, by the way, you live here.
I do live here.
And yes. So when you're in Texas, I think it's also more of a on vacation vibe.
It is a little bit of a vacation
like vibe. Like me being here in Nashville now.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm here getting the work done. I'm actually not like, people have said to me like, what are you getting to eat? Or are you going to go see that? And it's like, no, I'm not. No.
Yeah.
I think you're the only live music I'll probably have
seen. I ruined it for you. You're like, I don't see anyone else. Everyone else,
I don't need to go. I'm done.
This guy sucks. I don't see anything else.
is this really the best you could do?
This is the best you guys have ever.
No, but seriously, like, I think that's probably the only live music I'll see this time, because I'm here to, you know, here it's not.
You're doing stuff. Yeah,
I'm doing this,
you which know? Is cool.
But a little bit of a vacation vibe is what I'm saying.
It is a little bit of vacation vibe. But those guys are also like, and you know, I'm just saying, like, they're my buddies. So like, when I'm there, we do get together and have fun. So, but I feel like they do that all the time. But I think they just have that fun loving vibe about themselves.
Right.
With that I love, you know, and they've also been very sweet, and they've welcomed, you know, there used to be a bit of a rub between Nashville and Texas with musicians, you know, where people were like, oh man, Nashville sellouts, or, you know, or Texas, those guys are horrible. And I've been able to work in both places with people, and I love them. They love me, you know, so it's been really, really cool that to be able to have that thing. Because people ask me all the time, like, hey, man, like, how'd you get in with the Texas guys? And it was like, literally, I played for this guy named Rodney Crowell, who they all love, but a lot of those guys love and respect him. And so they came out to shows, and so I got to know them. And so basically, when people needed a sub, they were like, you know what? We know that guy can learn songs fast. And we don't care that he lives in Nashville. We got a gig to do, and he's the best guy for the job, or the cheapest guy for the job, however you want to put it. But you know, it's like he's the best guy for the job. So that's what we want. We want to have the best guy come in, because there's no rehearsals when I do that stuff. It's like, you know, like even like last year I went out with Cody Johnson, who's Texas based but is blown up, you know, pretty big. And he's doing arenas everywhere. But I went and subbed that gig with no rehearsal. And they called me because they're like, we know that you will come in and do the job. We'll give you everything you need. And if they don't give me stuff I need, I'll ask for it. I'm not afraid to be like, hey, can I get this? Or we'll figure it out. I'm just like, hey, man, give me everything because I need to know. You know, because I am coming in with no rehearsal. We're relying on sound check to get us through rehearsal, which means everything must go well with the crew setting up, the venue, everything, or there's no rain or whatever, so that we can get maybe an hour to run over intros and outros or segues, you know, the important stuff. But I'm, you know, they want me to know that going into it. So I kind of had the reputation of doing that. So people in Texas and in Nashville have hired me to do that thing. And the result of it, I've had some like really, really good buddies, you know, like, you know, and about, this is like 10 years ago now, one of the guys, Stoney LaRue, he had a situation with a drummer, and he called me and said, hey man, I got you a plane ticket to come to like Colorado. It leaves in 4 hours. Can you make it? And I was like, yeah, man, I can do it. And I did. I packed some clothes. January, by the way. I flew to Steamboat, Colorado, and had a day to chill, and then we played the show. And then he was like, can you stay out for 2 weeks? I was like, yeah, I can. So I did. I had 2 weeks turned into about 5 months of playing. Wow. Until eventually I was like, I think you need to get an actual drummer base like in Texas, because I'm flying back and forth, and I don't, you know, I feel bad because like it's costing you guys a bunch of money to keep flying me back and forth and renting drum kits too. So I left that for a little bit. Then yeah, I would come back occasionally when there's like, hey man, this guy's not cutting. Can you come back and do this tour? Or we're doing an important tour. Like one of the tours we did was a thing called the Four on the Floor tour, and it was Randy Rogers, Wade Bowen, Josh Abbott, there we go, and Stoney. And so Stoney had me come back for that 2 week tour because he was like, man, I wanted to be right. You're like the dude. And then he's like, and you also play with everyone else. So it kind of started a whole thing where like I ended up playing drum set with Stoney, but I played percussion with everyone else. So they had a little small percussion rig, you know, next to the drums, which has now turned into kind of a little gig for me with Randy Rogers. So like I'll go play tambourine and just percussion stuff behind the drummer because they have a bunch of that stuff on their record. So
right.
Anytime they have something fun, they're like, hey man, you want to come out to, do you want to go to Key West? Do you want to go to Red Rocks? Do you want to go to, you know, it'll be fun to have you there because you're our friend.
Right. I get it. Just, you know, come hang. You're going to get paid.
You know, come hang.
You get to be in Key West.
Yeah, you know, it's like, come hang out.
But you're doing the percussion thing.
Yeah.
You're saying, yeah.
Yeah, and then also, you know, nothing will happen to Les because he's like, I love him. He's the drummer of Les Lawless. Greatest name in Les Lawless. Like,
that's Jesus. Pretty damn good.
He's like, come on, man. Save some for the rest of us. You know, it's cool too because if Les ever needs, you know, to be out, it helps me refresh the songs too. You know, I'm there like, right. You know, because I essentially know the songs.
Right.
Because I've played them on drum set and percussion. So it's like, it's kind of a cool reminder of like, oh, you know what? Every now and then he may need to, you know, may need to sub out or, you know, Keo's available and he knows the stuff. So, mm-hmm. So it helps me. You know, I don't know if they think about that, but I think about that because I go, well, you know, I'm actually going to pay attention. I'm just not going to be here like, you know, I'm not going to be like, you know, sorority girl or guy playing the tambourine. I'm
sorority person.
Person. That's it. You know, playing the tambourine. So, you know, I'm actually paying attention to it. And I actually learned the percussion parts from the record, too.
Right.
So, which is kind of fun. But anyway, so that was...
I'm with you. I'm just, yeah. We can say I'm turning off the goddamn fridge.
Yeah.
Jerry Rowe.
Go fridge.
Wait. Did I not? You can hear it, folks. I know you can. There it is.
Oh, there it is.
The click.
Off with you. Off with you.
And will I remember?
Yeah.
Yo, yeah.
I'll remind you.
You know what I'm gonna do?
I'm gonna set it right now.
I'm gonna set an alarm, and then when the alarm goes off, I'll be like, "Well, why? Why'd that go? Oh,
fridge.
Oh, that's fridge. Why that went off." All right. So
yeah.
Go ahead.
But yeah. So anyway, I mean, we were talking about the, you know,
just
working in both worlds is kind of fun,
and it's
cool, and it's also nice to like have that, you know, where. Working in just in one place is fine.
Yes.
But it's nice to work in both places. It's nice to have, you know, people that want to work with you. It's nice to have people that want to be friends with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, you know, I'm talking a lot about my fun times in Texas, but there's a place called Billy's Ice House, I think is what it's called, New Braunfels. And my buddy McCoy, who he's one of the crew guys with Randy Rogers, he was like, hey, man, I'm going to take you to a very Texas experience. I was like, okay. He goes, we're going to go to Billy's. It's a biker bar. And it's chicken shit bingo night.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, what is chicken shit bingo?
Oh, yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
So we pull up. And this story is going to sound so made up. And it's like, we can double check with McCoy about it because it is funny. So we pull up and I see... bikes, then I see a cage, and I see two chickens, and I see like a little numbers thing, and the chickens are doing their thing, and I was like, okay, So chicken shit bingo is real, and you win a gun in a bar. Okay. All right. And there's a snake. A guy has a snake in the bar. Why would he have a snake in the bar? Oh, I don't like this. This is weird. McCoy, I think we should leave. He's like, nah, man, it's fine. So this, we're sitting there, and there's a snake. I'm like, I'm not afraid of snakes. I just don't trust them because I don't trust anything.
That's actually a thing when you say about someone, don't trust him, he's a snake.
He's a snake, yeah. Right.
And then here you are saying, I don't trust snakes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we're sitting there, and we're talking, and this guy's like, yeah, man. He goes, oh, that's a cool whatever snake it was. He goes, man, I got a snake. So this guy leaves, and he comes back, and he's got a bigger snake. So then there's two snakes in the bar, chickens shitting, guns, and then a really, really bad band plan. And I was like, this is awesome. This is amazing. So I'm enjoying myself. And then out of nowhere, this guy comes up to me and he said, are you Black Yoda? And I was like, oh, fuck. Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm Black Yoda. He's like, dude, I'm a huge fan. So being that this day has been as fucking weird as it has been, I think that my buddies have put someone up, because I don't know this guy. So I think my buddies have, like, had this guy come up to me and say he's a huge fan. So I kind of blow him off. And I was like, oh, yeah, man, cool, yeah. And I was looking at my buddies, and they're looking at me. They're, like, they're looking kind of, they're not laughing. They're looking confused. And I'm looking at them like, come on, what the fuck, you guys, right? Whatever, right? So, like, I meet this dude. Couldn't have been nicer. And we're actually really good friends now. Could have been nicer, dude. And we talked. Take a photo. He's like, man, he's excited. He walks away, and I walk over, and I was like, you guys are assholes. And they're like, what? And I'm like, you, like, got some guy to come say, they go, we don't know that guy at all. And I was like, you don't know him? They're like, no. And then someone's like, man, that guy, he plays drums in this blah, blah, blah band. And I was like, oh, shit. So, as I went back over, and I was like, hey, man, like, I'm so sorry. I thought, I kind of thought you were fucking with me. I thought my buddies were fucking with me. I'm like, super sorry. He was like, no, man, you're fine, dude. It's all good. And I was like, thanks, man. I'm so sorry.
Just making it awkward. Just trying.
So, but that night, and so what's funny, though, is everything closes early there. But so we hung out for a while, and so we couldn't take the band anymore. And then I go back. We go back to the house, and I was just like, did that just happen? Did all of that just happen in a matter of 2 hours? You know what I'm saying? So every time I go back, I want to go back for chicken shit bingo.
Oh, chicken shit bingo. And that's in a lot of places. You know that now.
I know,
right?
That now. Yeah.
Now, it's a thing.
It is a thing. That's I've never heard of it.
No, I can't speak for the snakes.
No, yeah.
That's a whole different.
That's still weird.
But I'll have to. I know New Braunfels. I'll have to go check out the Ice House.
The Ice House, man. It's a weird.
Probably a Sunday, I would take it. The chicken.
It was a Sunday. It was a Sunday.
Probably.
That was fun.
I'll have to make my way down there at some point. Maybe, who knows? Maybe I'll get lucky enough to be in a bad band. during chicken shit bingo.
Yeah, I mean,
if I get lucky enough, who knows?
I feel bad calling them bad, but it was bad. It was bad.
Well, it plays into the stereotype.
It was,
we'll say, yeah. Of the Texas thing you were saying.
Well, this was no. It was just.
Was it supposed to be country? Was it supposed to be? I mean, in that sense, or was it just...
No, it was a rock band.
Oh, just a rail. Oh, yeah, that can go wrong.
It was.
Yeah, that can go off the rails.
It went off the rails. It was. Yeah, I can't even remember them. That's how good it was.
Like, but, I won't back down kind of rock. I mean, we're talking about it.
Or some Joan Jett.
Oh, they were. We've been worse.
Yeah, you know, there's a couple bars there that they really were missing.
Do you want a touch? Yeah. Do you want touch?
Now, what I do remember was the guitar player was a rocking guitar player, and the drummer was a jazz guy.
Oh, great.
He was like a very like uh-huh. touching, and the singer was kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
And saying all that, there was a bit of beauty to it because I kept watching them. I couldn't stop watching it. And I was like, oh,
It just kept driving. Yeah, it's like a car wreck. You mean you couldn't look away. You couldn't.
About 30 minutes into it, my musician ears went away, and I was just like, "Oh, I am here to have fun." So
right
here I am.
Sure.
Like ooh.
Maybe you were getting a little lit up at that point too. That helps.
Oh, yeah.
The more you drink, the better we sound. One of those.
That's true. That's an experiment that happened.
Listen, you actually raised an interesting point about being like you. That's very true. Sometimes you got to turn off the ears, as you said.
Yeah.
And just be.
Just be.
Be. Just have a good time and just go with it.
Yeah. Which is great.
It is. Sometimes you got to do that. Yeah.
Which is honestly, I mean, that's kind of what I was saying about my buddies, and it's, you know, nothing against my buddies here, but my friends in Texas, there's a bit of turning it off when I'm there. And maybe because I'm here, you know, and not
just I think it's the vacation vibe,
and,
yeah, too.
I've been listening to bands, just hanging out, like...
Because you feel a little more clocked out when you're there. That's what I'm saying. Here, you're always on.
Well, they don't care about 10 to 2s. They don't, you know, like, they don't give a shit about what session I just did.
No.
Or, you know, or what song I just played on, or who's doing what, or what the current events of Nashville are. They don't...
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. When you're here, you can't go... There's no off switch.
Yeah, there's no off switch. You know, because, you know, because obviously the name of the game is networking, right? So we all, especially as younger people, or people moving, as newer people, moving to town, the first thing you do is you meet as many people as you can, because the only way you're going to work is if people know you. You can know them, but if they don't know you, you're not going to work. It's one of those deals. And most of us, especially, you know, of our age, of people in their 40s and older, you come looking for that one situation, and you're going to hopefully work with that band for 20 years or 10 years or whatever. You don't think about the fact that that may only last 3 years, 5 years, and then you have to jump around. And in my case, that was the deal where I never landed at one thing until I was playing with Big and Rich. And so everything I had was like busy enough, but I still had to do other stuff. And I also wanted to do sessions. I wanted to play showcase. I wanted to do everything. I was trying to find my lane. So I went out and I met every person that was willing to talk to me. And I was like, cool, let's talk. And then I played every gig one time, at least once. If someone called me for something, I'd do it. And doing that over basically... Before I got the BNR gig, doing that for 14 years, I met a lot of people. So when I go out in public, and this is going to sound so fucking horrible, when I go out in public, but people will tell you this. If I go out in public, someone like will come and say, hey, Keo, oh man, Keo. And then the next thing is, hey, what are you doing these days? Not like, are you cutting your grass? You know, they're asking me what work am I doing? As you know, they're asking about my dear friends are asking about my, you know, personal life. Like, how's Ava, or how's whatever, you know. But most people were like, hey, man, so what are you doing these days? What are you doing? Oh, man, I'm just doing, you know, I'm doing that. So anytime you leave the house, that's happening. If you run into somebody, so from 10 a.m. to 2 o'clock in the morning, you could potentially run into people and just talk about music business.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, all day long. And I don't think it's anybody's intention to do it, but that's just that's what you have in common. You know, or people see you and they go, we want to be you. We want to do what you're doing. Right. And so, without giving us advice, tell me something, you know, kind of thing. But whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of that, and it's honestly, it's okay. Like I'm by no means am I mad about it. I'm happy that people know who I am. I wish they'd hire me more, but, but no, I'm good. But you know, it's like I'm totally cool with people coming up to me and stuff like that. But it does. You know, for my friends that are with me that aren't in the music business,
right.
Or my friends who aren't in the music business, they don't necessarily like it. My ex, she hated it.
She hates when people come up and start just because it's like, oh, give me a fucking break.
She was, yeah.
Well, because maybe it's because you weren't doing that you weren't like a celebrity, like, you know, hey, I'm with my friends.
Well, yeah,
you know, it's almost that thing. I
mean, yeah,
it's
like because you don't
the celebrity say, saying not now, no autographs now. I'm
and it's weird because, like, you know, I mean, we just met, but like anybody will probably tell you I'm just a fucking dude.
Yeah,
like I'm a normal dude that just does normal shit, like private jets and all that shit. No.
I didn't want to mention he brought a team of people with him tonight. And they're just kind of, it's kind of awkward because they just stand around silent and they're just kind of watching me. Yeah, it's a little awkward.
Tyrone's cool, man. He's got my back. He's watching the door for us.
Because it's the way he stares at me. It gets me a little uncomfortable, but whatever.
It's all good.
Tyrone,
all good.
Just don't hurt me and we'll be good. All right.
It's all good. It's good. You know, just keep your distance, man.
I got you. You're a regular guy. You're a regular guy.
Yeah, you know, so I've never thought, you know, that I was someone, so when people would come up to me, I'm just like, oh yeah, what's up? You know, hey, how's it going? And she was like, you know.
Right.
Hope she never hears this.
Would that also sometimes be more, but would it also sometimes be more, are you Black Yoda? Was it that as well? Or
it was, yeah, but it was.
Like, do you get that legit? Oh,
I get
you
that do. Legit.
Okay.
And what's crazy is all of this was happening pre-social media. So we're talking just...
So wait, how did that even happen?
I know, and it was before the Black Yoda. It was just people just knew me.
Oh, well, that's different. I was being specific about it, because you said the guy. And I just wanted to ask, like, now that's a thing.
Now that does happen, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's like,
so now you don't think it's a joke anymore?
No. That's like, oh, people go...
Yeah.
Because I don't, you know, you see social media numbers, and, you know, you see people with, like, 30,000 or 20,000 or 100,000. You're like, wow, those people are popular. I have, like, maybe 7,000 followers. To me, I'm like, well, that ain't shit. Mm-hmm. Then I think about it, I go, for my demographic, that's a lot of people. You know, like, it's not, you know, my friends on Instagram aren't just random, you know, housewives that like my drumming. You know, you know what I mean? They're not like going, oh, I wonder what Keo's doing. Oh my God, what a great shuffle he has. You know what I mean? Like, they, so it is legit, like, drummers, you know.
Oh, you do all right with the housewives.
You
come
know,
on.
You know, but I'm
don't
saying,
don't knock like, yourself. You know, like, you're doing all right with the housewives.
You know, but I'm just, you know, but it's like, it's that thing, you know, where you go, wow, you know, I guess that is my audience. So they're, you know, there's if I have 7,000 followers,
right.
People probably do, they probably do know who I am. And,
right.
You know, then not to mention, like, you know, things will be posted on, you know, when I was playing with Big and Rich, I was in the background, so people saw my face. So people, they saw me, like, every gig, you know, you're the drummer, so every gig you're behind somebody, and it's like, hey, you know,
right.
there's your face. So people do recognize you. And sometimes, even if they don't know your name, they'll be like, hey, man, I know you from somewhere. Like, earlier today, I was at my favorite bar, just hanging out with one of my buddies, and it was really funny, because he's famous, and I'm not, and the person, he was like, hey, man, drummer, right? And I was like, yeah, cool. And he was like, man, great, man, I saw you play last night. Thanks, dude. He was like, cool. And he just walked away, and my buddy, I was like, hey, man, the first time there, huh? The first time. Yeah,
yeah. He's actually famous.
Yeah. I was like, cool. This feels good today, you know. But yeah, I don't know. It's just...
That was Keith Urban, by the way, folks.
It was, you know. But, you know, it's interesting, though, like, because you go from being a guy just trying to work and take care of your family to all of a sudden people, you know, liking what you do. I'm not going to use the word idolizing, but, like, they like or they respect what you do. And people now, as we all know, have no problems coming up to people and saying, hey, to you, or commenting or whatever. So it's a whole other world, especially coming from, you know, I guess I would have been the younger person that came, that was here in Nashville pre-social media. I moved here right as Facebook was kind of becoming a thing. And so, and it was kind of a weird thing. You know, the unspoken rule was that you never posted anything about work on Facebook. On MySpace. You didn't post anything about that.
That's right.
It was kind of a thing, you know, and then as things, you know, have gone on, we've all embraced social media, so everybody, you post everything. You know, it's like, hey, well, today I was walking my dog, and, you know, here I am, you know, whatever. So it's interesting for that, and I think that the networking skills pre-social media were a bit more lasting, I guess, also. So people still, like, I still have friends that I met 23 years ago. And they're still, like, my friends. Or still work with people that I met 23 years ago. And they're still, like, my friends. I feel like today, some of that will happen. But, if they don't dig what you do, they just go to the next person. As opposed to, I feel like then people are like, man, you know, we had a good time. We didn't gel, but I'll give it another try. And now it's like, next, you know, it's like, oh, you can't do it? We're calling Miles. You know, usually they call Miles and Jerry and then somebody else, and everybody, you know, then they go, oh, we'll call Keo because those guys are busy. They're not cutting it, but those guys are busy. But, you know, it's that thing now where it's like you can, you know, back in, I never won every Hell Sessions for me, but I heard the stories of back in the day where, like, if Eddie Bears couldn't make a session, the session didn't happen.
Mm. Right.
Right, like, right. Wow, you know.
Yeah.
Holy shit, you know, what respect that is, you know.
Larry Lund.
Larry Lund, he's not available. Well, when's he coming back? A month? We'll hold off. You're like, what? You know, think about that. You're like, man, that's so crazy. Yeah. Now it's like, you can't make it? Oh, cool. Yeah, we already called. Right. Sure. Sure. You know what I mean? Yeah. We were, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and especially, and I will say this, in session world, I'm nowhere near where Jerry and Miles are near, and those guys are. I'm in a different tier of fun times. But every now and then I do get to work with some of the same people. But I really, it'd be cool to be like, be in their circle. You know, I'm like Blazing Saddles. I'm just making my own circle.
Yeah.
In the funnest way, though, but...
Yeah.
But yeah, so anyway.
But do you like country?
I do. I grew up with it. Okay. So my granddad is a real country fan. Like, he liked Little Jimmy Dickens. And so he
was... I don't even know who that is. So
he was an opera guy. Literally little. Okay. And one of my favorite...
Literally little.
Literally little.
Like what we call a little person today, or like just...
In between.
Just above.
Above.
Yeah.
Just above,
I got you.
So he, a little bit shorter than me, he and I were almost neck and neck there.
Little Jim.
But, and this is funny. So, like, you know, we all do things. We're going to make our folks proud, you know. So the first time I played the Opry, Little Jimmy Dickens was the host for the Opry. And so what they do is they have different members of the Opry will host different segments kind of thing. And that was playing with Wade Hayes. This is like 2002, I think, maybe. And my granddad, like I said, is a big Little Jimmy Dickens fan. And so we played, and then we go to our dressing room, and then Little Jimmy's assistant comes to me and goes, hey, man, like, Jimmy wants to talk to you. And I was like, me? He's like, yeah. So I go over to his dressing room, and we have a discussion about drums, about drumming. And he was really nice. He said, man, I really like what you're doing. He goes, I wish my drummer had a little bit of that. And I was like, okay, well, I'm not sure what that is because I'm 22 years old. And I'm like, I'm not sure what you're talking about here, man, but I'll take the compliment. So we go, in those days we'd play, you would do two segments. So that was the first segment, and we went to do another one. And I remember he asked me to bring a pair of drumsticks with me. So I gave him a pair of drumsticks. And he had me sign them, but I thought it was hilarious. I was like, why? Whatever, but, you know, I did it. So when we go to play the next segment, we're playing, and all of a sudden, I see, like, cameras flashing, you know, and all of a sudden, I just hear whack, whack, whack in my head, and it's Little Jimmy Dickens, and he's beating the shit out of me with drumsticks. He's playing on my head as I'm playing the drums.
What the
And, you know, it lasted a short time, you know, but then it was a funny bit. And then I laughed, everybody laughed about it. But then afterwards, I was, you know, called over again, and he said, I really like you. And he said, I want to give you something. So he has like a photo that he loves, and he only gives the people that he likes. He's now passed away, but, and then he has like a regular photo. So he was like, this is my favorite photo. Kenny Rogers took this of me. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And I said, would you mind making it out to my granddad? He goes, absolutely. So he makes it out to, you know, to George, Little Jimmy Dickens. I was like, cool. And then he signed one for me. And I was like, man, thanks. And he goes, anytime. And I was like, cool. Like, how cool is that? So I remember, like, getting home, and I called my granddad the next day. And I was like, hey, so I met Little Jimmy Dickens last night. And he was like, bullshit. And I was like, no, seriously. And I go... And he signed a photo for you. And it was like the happiest. He was like so happy to hear that. He was like, wow, that's so cool. And I remember when I took it down and gave it to him, he was like, oh, man, you know, thank you so much for doing that. And what's funny is years went by where I would run into him at Kroger. I would see like Little Jimmy Dickens at Kroger. And I would go up and help him. You know, he's an older man. So I would just go up and like, oh, man, I'll give you a hand with that. He was carrying something. I was like, I got it for you. He goes, thanks, man. We never became friends, you know. Like, but
did he know who you were? Did he remember?
He did. He remembered, okay. Yeah, okay. He remembered who I was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I told him the first time. I was okay. Like, oh, again. Okay. He goes, yeah. And it was okay. Like, okay. So, I mean, I probably saw him 5 or 6 times, you know, over the years. But I would see him. I was like, oh, man, I'll help you out with that. He goes, thanks, brother. I was like, yeah, no problem.
But this, the point being also that you really grew up on this. And you're saying it really is in you, the country thing.
It is in
me. And by the way, I just want to make clear that I also asked this because, you know, there's some guy, and I guess I could say it. I mean, like Miles and Jerry. It's like, no, I like metal. You know?
Yeah.
That's why I ask you, because, and there's a lot of that going around. It's like, you know, it's like things in life, I guess. People fall into things.
Yes.
It's that pattern.
My thing was interesting. I loved, I still do, I love R&B and like old school R&B. And I was, you know, then the Earth, Wind & Fire, you know, I love stuff like that. Motown. And then I like, you know, old country. I like Jack Green. I just grew up listening to that stuff. And, you know, and the way I learned how to play drums was playing drums to, well, still learning to play country, I should say, was playing to Brooks and Dunn records when I was a kid in my garage. I was just like, buy them. My granddad would buy them. I put them on and I'd play to them. That was how I learned how to play country music.
Because you're from where?
I'm from Georgia, from Athens. And so that's, you know. So,
wait a minute, Athens, that's the REM and
yeah.
The
blah, 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 blah. Yeah, which is not a country place at all.
I was going to say, so
it's indie rock.
Yeah.
So I never played any bands when I was there. I only played in my dad's band, actually. I didn't play.
Okay, so you were never in an Athens scene.
Dude, I was a nobody. I mean, I still am, but I was like, I was a complete nobody there. I played at church, and I played in my dad's like cover band. And I was, and my granddad.
Did you go out? Was there a scene there, or did you just not care about?
There was. I just didn't. This is the truth, man. It's gonna sound really weird. I never thought I was a really good drummer. I never thought I was good enough to like really do this for a living at all. Like my whole moving to Nashville was, I moved to Nashville to be a drum tech. That was like, I was like,
oh, we didn't go over. Okay. This is what I'm saying. Okay, so hold on a second. How old are you when you leave Athens, Georgia?
So I went to college for a couple of years. I moved here when I was 20.
And who got you here as a drum tech?
So no one did. So that was the best part. So because I'm a little stupid, right? So my dad.
Oh, ignorance is gonna be the best thing. I got you now. All right.
So my dad had a buddy who had an R&B top 40 band here, and they needed a drummer. And so he was like, it's actually, the story goes back a little further than I should say. So one day, I actually do end up playing in a kind of an Americana band. I do like a little tour out west with a band based out of Athens. And we did a couple gigs opening for this band called Southern Culture on the Skids, which is funny because Dave the drummer, his girlfriend and my girlfriend were sisters, but we never knew that. We didn't know each other because, you know, I never met him. I never met her sister because they were doing a thing and we were in college at the time. So anyway, we did this tour and I got to know him a little bit and blah, blah, blah. Well, my great granddad dies while I'm on tour, so I have to fly home a day early. I get home a day early. My dad picks me up, blah, blah, blah. Go to the funeral, you know, whatever. And then I'm like sitting on the couch, like talking to my dad, and my dad's buddy calls him. And he goes, hey man, does your son still play drums? And my dad's like, yeah. He goes, we had to leave our drummer in Nashville and we're playing in Athens tonight. Will he play drums? And my dad was like, yeah, I'm sure he'll do it. And my dad just goes, hey, you're playing with Tyrone tonight. I go, okay, cool. That's just how that went, right? Yes. Played the gig. And then afterwards, Tyrone just goes, hey, man, if you want to move to Nashville, you have a gig. And I was like, okay, cool, thanks. Didn't think anything of it. So I was talking to my dad. And I was like, man, like, I hate school. I want to move to Nashville. And, you know, I don't know what I want to do. I guess I can play in this band. And he's like, yeah, that sounds cool. I said, you know, but, you know, I guess I could play in this band until I get a gig as a drum tech. And he was like, oh, that's a great idea. So then we both thought about it that way. Neither one was like, you know, you're actually a really good drummer. You should play drums. At least he never said, I mean, my dad said he thought I was a good drummer.
He probably sort of something to fall back on.
Yeah, but so it was like,
you had something to fall back on.
Yeah, so basically that's what I did. I moved here and I was playing in this band.
Now, does that mean they're working a lot?
They were. And I didn't think about it. You know, I was just the ignorance of being a kid. I was like, a professional musician is someone who plays in a band that tours, plays original music, blah, 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 blah. That's just, you know. So And I knew J.D. Blair, who was Shania Twain's drummer. So I was like, all right, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to move to Nashville, and I'm going to get the gig teching for Shania. I was like, that's what I'm going to do. That's the goal.
Knew him personally?
I knew him personally, yeah.
How did you know him personally?
I met him through... I went to a Victor Wooten gig in Athens and saw him play, and then met him, and then we became friendly.
Okay.
And then...
You were in touch.
We were in touch. So we talked. You know, he was the guy that was nice enough to answer my phone when I called, like, with dumb questions. And so... When I was moving to Nashville, I was like, hey, man, like, I'm going to move to Nashville. Do you need a drum tech? He was like, no, I don't need a drum tech. He goes, but, you know, move to Nashville. I'm sure someone will hire you if that's what you want to do. And I was like, okay, cool. So I moved here. I was playing in that band. And I was meeting everybody because I was like, I want to be a drum tech. I want to be a drum tech. How do I do it? Are you hiring drum techs? You know, it was, and people were like, well, you play drums well. We should just play drums. And I go, I'm not about that. I'm going to do this. So it turns out I never got a job as a drum tech. So as a full-time drum tech. So I ended up checking for JD for a week with Shania, a sub for Jonas, and a tech for Michael Bland for one day with Soul Asylum. They were both in Nashville, and that was the extent of my teching jobs. So essentially, I'm a Nashville failure. I didn't do what I came up to do. I'm essentially a loser because I did not achieve.
There's still time.
Yeah, I didn't achieve my goal as.
But there's still time.
You know. So yeah, there is still time. So, long story short, other people thought I was better than I thought I was, and they were hiring me to play drums, and that's what I did. And so it just kind of turned into a thing. And I was, it's weird, but I guess a lot of people move to Nashville because they talent out of where they're from. There's nowhere for them to go. Like they're like they hit the ceiling in Athens. They hit the ceiling in Minot. They hit the ceiling in where they are, and they move to Nashville to grow and to meet people and to hone their craft and be superstars. And I didn't have that. I wasn't the best drummer where I was from. I was just a kid that played drums and I love drums. I'm obsessed over. The mechanics of drums, like how to build them and stuff like that, which I still get into every now and then. But I never was like, oh, I'm so good. I'm going to move to Nashville and I'm going to play with Reba McEntire. Which I've never played with Reba. But, I didn't have that mindset. My mindset was like, I'm just going to see what happens and hope, man, if I get it, I'll be here for a couple of years. And if it doesn't work out, I'll move back to Athens and, work with my folks or... go work at the family funeral home or whatever it is. I don't know, So, and as it's 23 years later, I'm still here. So, which is kind of bizarre.
Yeah.
And, in the weirdest way, and it's, I guess it's my people believing in me, them recharging me to believe in myself to do it. But I still don't believe like I'm like some amazing drummer. That's not how I view myself. I'm a dude. I play drums. I know how to play in a band. I do that well, but I don't go, yeah, I'm so good. They should hire me. I'm like, if they hire me, cool. If they don't, cool. It's like, it's like when you go to an audition, it's like, my mindset is like, to me, like an audition is a job interview. It's like you go and you like, give them what you think they want from you or, and they go yes or no. And it's okay. You don't go there and you're like, man, I didn't get the gig. Fuck everybody. This sucks. Whatever. Because you never know the person they hired may not get it. And then you might be the guy they end up calling again or they recommend you for something else, which has happened, multiple times of not getting an audition where it's like, you don't get it. And it's like, oh man, you guys are looking for somebody? We had a dude that came in yesterday. He was great. His name's Keo. Call him. And you go, hey, man, I got your number from blah, 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 blah. And you just never know what comes out of the situation. So it's okay to go. It's okay to be disappointed. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you're not disappointed when something doesn't pop up. Because there are certain gigs that, at least for me, there are certain gigs that I didn't get that if I had gotten them, they would have changed my life. And by change my life is they would give me like a financial security that I didn't have before, and would have also helped me, you know, achieve some dreams that I did have once I realized I was in this thing to play drums. And, you know, I'm like, oh man, it'd be cool to win a Grammy, it'd be cool to play the Grammys, it'd be cool to do a Tonight Show, it'd be cool, you know.
Yeah.
And I've been lucky. I've done all those things, you know, now, which is cool. But, you know, at that time, you know, going into it, it was like, oh man, this would have been really cool. It didn't happen. Okay. And it's, you have to just view it that way. Same way when you get a gig and you get let go from the gig, you can't be like, fuck these people. Just like, it just didn't work out. It's their gig. They don't want me here. They didn't say they didn't like me. They just didn't want, they wanted something else from the drum chair. I've never been, you know, at least I don't think I have. I don't think I've ever been fired from a gig because someone's like, we don't like you. You know, they're just like, man, you know, we're looking for more of a zzzz, and you're more going zzzz. I go, all right, cool. And it's, you know, that's, and to me, that's a total respectful thing for someone to do to you, and for you to take it too, is respect for them. And you just go, you move on, because you never know when they go, man, you know what? We kind of want this. This is like, you know, so that's a thing, you know?
Yeah. I have this strange theory as if it's like about relationships as well, or like this, like, you know, like some people are just more cut out to be very monogamous.
Yeah.
From like, that's it. I got married to this one person, you know. Bruce Springsteen up gets Max Weinberg, and that's what he wants, you know. For like, I mean, he moved around. There was that time he lived with those other, you know, he did that.
Yeah.
But he went back.
Yeah.
He went back to the,
yep,
the old wife, you know, like Max, and then he's just like, that's what I want, you know. Yeah. I want just, Max there, and some people are just that, and then again, there's people who are like, no, man, I gotta have a rotating.
Yeah.
Coming through the bedroom, like,
totally.
I need variety. I can't just, you know, have one flavor.
Exactly. It's
that old thing, like, you want pizza every night? You know what I mean? Yeah. Or do you want, you know?
And, you know, it's funny because I feel, you
so
know,
it's not personal.
It's not personal.
It's just, you know, tonight I want Mexican, and tomorrow night I want Chinese.
It's just like when people make records, you know, especially in Nashville. When people make records here,
Is it also, you want to work with different people?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, yeah. Like, you get to work with different people. Like, if you go, if you're making a record and you're like, man, I need that thing, you know, I need like a, you know, like a Hall & Oates thing. Then you're like, is Mickey Curry available? He does that. I mean, I could do that, but he really does that. Hire him. And the thing is, you can't be mad about it, because you go, man, they want that guy for something. They're not saying we don't like you. They're just saying, this guy does a thing, we're going to have him. And they get him, and he does that thing great. You know, if someone's like, man, you know, I really had this thing in mind where I wanted like a double bass thing, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, man, we're going to call Jerry Rowe. You know, he can play double bass really, really well. You know, I can't get mad that they didn't call, you know.
Right.
And so you just go, yeah, and you hear it, and you go, yeah,
but again, it's that thing of like, it's like with the Steve Jordan thing where he's like, I wanted to play with lots of different people.
Yeah.
So why shouldn't an artist feel that way?
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying. Like,
yeah,
back to that.
And that's, I love it.
I want to play with Kia, but I also want to play with Jerry Rowe, and I want to play with Morrow, and I want to play with McHugh. It's like, I want the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
I want them all.
Exactly. And then it's also cool to be like, you know, in that circle of people too, where like your name gets put up with those guys, where it's like, there's some respect. There's respect in that self, you know, where someone's like, man, you know what? I have Keo, I've got Marcus Finney, I've got Miles, I've got Jerry Rowe, I've got Greg Morrow, near.
Now you sound like, did I hit that bucket?
But, you know, it's like, you get, you know, you're like, you get in that thing, you're like, man, it's cool to be, you know, it's cool for those guys to be like your peers now. Where, like, remember, like, you know, me and Jerry and Miles are roughly the same age. So growing up, you know, we kind of, you know, we saw a lot of these guys like Greg Morrow, and we saw Eddie Bears and McHugh, and those guys, they were our heroes. And so it's cool that, like, you know, I'll never say I'm on the same level as them whatsoever by any means, but it's cool to be like considered by people like, hey man, you're, you know, it's like, I can have you, or I can have Chris McHugh. And I'm like, oh, you should definitely hire Chris McHugh, you know. But it's like, it's cool that it's gotten to that point where you can be in those names of people, which is, I think, is kind of cool. You know, I'll never be like, I'm on that level, but it's flattering, and it's a form of respect that I never thought I would ever have from Nashville, or just in, or actually from drumming in general. You know, just like doing this or doing, you know, I did the Seth Meyers thing. It's like, I couldn't fucking believe that I got to do that. I was like, I'm me. You know what I mean? It's like, they had everybody, you know, and it's goofy me up there doing it. And I'm like, and it was cool. And they didn't treat me any different than anyone else. At least that's what they told me.
Right.
You know, but you know what I mean? They treated me, you know, with respect, just like everybody else. And it was cool. And it's fun to now be, you know, it's fun to be, you know, somewhat in that club of people where it's like, man, your name gets thrown around with that, blah, 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 you know. So, anyway.
Yeah. No, that's cool. I like that. That's cool. You know,
it's a...
And you've never had to go through the thing, obviously, because, I mean, you're making it sound like it kind of just took care of itself and things just played out in 23 years. And so you never went through the, oh, maybe I should go to L.A. or maybe I should go to...
I have that more now than I did then.
You got a little itch to what, to try to get it there and see what it's like.
Well, I don't live in LA. That's kind of why I've been going out to Texas, honestly, just to work with different people, just to try a different scene.
Oh, you mean just in a general sense? In a general sense. Now you're just going out. You're a little wanderlust going on, and you're like,
yeah,
where? Maybe I'd go to New York. Maybe I'd go to
Paris. Yeah,
maybe I'd go to, yeah. Right.
Well, it's funny because I remember seeing like guys like Michael Baker and Michael Bland and even like Moffitt or Alfredo Reyes, those guys playing with international pop stars or rock.
Right, that thing. Rockers. That I get it. That thing.
Yeah,
and that's a big thing.
Yeah, and I was like, man, you know, that'd be
scary. Gary Novak.
Yeah,
playing
exactly.
With,
that's
it's
right.
Some Italians in some stadium, and you're like, what the fuck? And it's like,
yeah, exactly.
Paid very well. Treated very well.
And so
that
so I'm like, you know, and it's not that I have by no means hit a ceiling in Nashville, by no means.
No, but now you're talking international. I get it, man.
But I'm like, you know, it'd be cool to
play with Mark Anthony in some soccer stadium. And
exactly. You know, because because that stuff's fun. I've gotten a chance to play arenas, stadiums, big festivals, you know, the whole thing, most of the TV shows in the States, and it's great. And obviously I would do them 50 times over.
It's a lane if
getting the opportunity, but I think it'd be cool to like play, you know, with some guys, you know, based in Texas. I'd be cool to play with, you know, an Italian pop star,
right?
You know,
right. No, I got
or,
you. I
know,
got you.
Or whatever, or just, you know, just yep. just to do something a little different. Or even I don't know if I could live somewhere else, because I do love living here. Like, this is home. Like, I live here. Like, this is my home. But, it'd be nice to venture out to do something here with someone here and do something there with somebody else.
You kind of like getting on the planes.
I do, yeah. It's like, you know, I miss it, you know?
No, it is interesting because I'm saying this is a thing where, like, some guys talk to you and they're like, no.
Yeah.
You know, they're now all they want to do is sleep in their own bed at night.
Yeah, which... I enjoy that,
and that's fine. No, we're not here to judge.
Yes,
I do. It's not about the gavel and the black robe. No. It's more about like just saying, acknowledging, like, hey, we're all different.
Yeah,
and you're kind of this is the season of your life. You're saying where, and all of a sudden you're like, I could go to Italy.
Yeah,
I could go to Monte Carlo. I could go to Stockholm.
Yeah,
they got a scene.
Yeah, I mean,
ever since ABBA.
Yeah, I mean, my buddy, you know, my buddy Brady lives in Sweden. Like, he's. He's killing it over there. He's always like, come on, man. Come on over.
That's a lane.
You know? So it's like,
Stockholm lane.
Yeah, so I'm at that point where I'm like, I don't know what's next, and I'm not putting limits on anything.
Right.
I'm not going, well, if it's not this, I'm not doing it.
Right.
I'm just like, you know, whatever comes up.
Well, that's why, that's what I'm saying, and that's what goes also back to the country thing when I was saying, you know, like I said, a lot of the guys are like, yeah, you could tell, it's not what they, you know what I mean, it's not what they're listening to at home or anything like that.
Yeah.
And they might even prefer, on some level, although, I won't say all, not Miles so much, he likes playing what he's doing, but I mean... You do like other stuff.
And I do.
And I could see that. You wouldn't mind, like...
I wouldn't mind, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and my daughter is, like, she's been really pushing it, too. She's, like, she's 16. She's, like, really into music.
Right.
And she's, like, Dad, you gotta check out Ghost. I'm, like, fucking Ghost? What? What is this shit?
Yeah.
Oh, I like it. You know, she's been really... She's opened my mind up to some stuff. And then, and then my buddy Lester, you know, he plays with Kelly. And he's kind of the pop scene. He's like, man, you know, check this out. You know, I've been checking things out. I don't have the pop chops to do, like, a pop R&B gig. But I could do, like... I could do Train. You know, I can play Train beats, you know. But,
You mean, you want to get rid of Matt Musty and get the Train beat? Is that what you're trying to say?
That's not what I'm saying. Matt's a really good buddy of mine, and he can kick my ass. So, but, you know, something like that would be fun. Like a Jewel.
But you know who you could take physically is Brendan Buckley. That guy can't fight.
I don't know about that.
He's pulling the wool over everybody's eyes, posting pictures. It's a ruse.
He's so sweet.
I'm telling you now, you publicly challenge him to a fight, a la Zuckerberg and Musk. Keo versus Stroud versus Buckley. Let's go. I say you can take him. Do you have any training?
So, no.
You'll do great. Trust me. You'll do great.
I can run. That's
all.
About it.
All those pictures he posts are fake. He can't fight. All right.
He's a sweet dude. I met him at PASIC a couple years ago. Super, super nice dude. He was really sweet.
You could take him.
Next time I see him, like, hey man, I'm gonna fight.
It's on. I need a bell. Ding ding. It's on. You heard it here first. Stroud versus Buckley. I'm putting this show on in Vegas. Give me 1 year. I'm putting it together.
Hey, the Vegas drum show.
Oh, in the Octagon. We're doing this. Oh, I'd Hit That presents, and we're going into the fighting game. I want the fight game. I want this.
That would be
crazy. I'm going to become a fight promoter now.
There it is.
Okay?
You're what's his name? Don King.
You better believe it. I'll be in the ring holding up your arms. You damn right I'm Don King. Yeah. And you give me a year to work on my hair, and I got this. Yes, I got this, bro.
Hair.
All right?
How do I forget about the hair?
Come on.
Oh, man. Come on. Yeah. That's funny. You know, so funny story. I've actually never been in a fight ever in my life.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Like
the tech dream, there's time.
Yeah. I'm going to walk out the door and just find somebody to beat me up.
So he's leaving. Yeah. Oh, guys.
That's why I have Tyrone, though.
I was just going to mention Tyrone. He does not like the discussion, by the way. I'm looking over and he is like, he's got that mean face on. Tyrone, relax. It's a joke. It's a joke. All right? No one's going to touch you. No one's going to touch Keo, okay?
He's got it. Yeah, we're good. We're good, man.
I see you pay him well. I see you. Oh, he listens. By the way, he listens to you. Because he was starting to come towards me, but you were like, relax.
He was about to hit you.
I know.
he does.
He can taste it. All right. I want to look at you, Tyrone. You're a little scary. Man, no, seriously, I'm glad you made this out tonight, man. You made it happen.
Dude, it's fun. Yeah, thanks for having me. It's fun. I'm such a fan of the podcast. I mean, it's great.
It's on, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, there's been many a plane ride. I mean, you know, I like, oh man, Steve Ferrone, yes, cool. You know, or whoever, you know, I'm like, yeah. And then for a while, when I left the road, I got a job working at a case shop. I was building road cases, and it was fun. It was something to do. You know, it was kind of like mindless work. Which is not mindless. It's actually fucking very hard. But my buddy Rodney Edmondson, who's a fantastic drummer, who plays with Ronnie Millsap, he's basically ran this case company for 40 years. You know, he doesn't own it. He works there, but, you know, he's kind of the dude. And so he hired me, and we would just put on podcasts and listen to them as we were building cases.
Nice.
And it was just fun. It was like we'd stop, like, does he just say that? And we started laughing, and so it was cool, man. So it's a cool thing you're doing. I'm glad you know. I moved to Nashville when people didn't respect Nashville at all, especially music or drummers out of Nashville, which I thought was disrespectful. I thought it was really weird that people didn't acknowledge Eddie, you know, Paul, even, you know, Larry, Tommy Wells, Milton Sledge, you know, a lot of those guys are playing on records. People kind of dismissed them. They're like, oh, Nashville, country, blah, 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 fuck it, whatever. You know, and they would just, it was like they were like the redheaded stepchildren of music. But it was like, these motherfuckers are playing every day, 7 days a week, from 10 in the morning until 10 at night. And then they go play bars sometimes, you know. It's like, and making just some really beautiful music, you know. It wasn't just all country. It was everybody making a bunch of stuff. So seeing the progress of people starting to acknowledge and respect Nashville, and, you know, for you to be here, like, doing the same thing, I think is really, really cool, because people, you know, some people still go, oh, man, you live in Nashville, man. Oh, man, bullshit. You know, you're like, man, it's bullshit, but we're working. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have to.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know what you're saying. I don't know if that's entirely true, that people think it's bullshit, oh, but...
And now, no. But then, like, when I'm, like, 20 years ago, it was...
Okay.
Yeah, so the progression of it...
I see.
The progression of people acknowledging and seeing how it works. And it's some of it is just taking people to come to Nashville and, like, I know guys who are like, yeah, man, I work in L.A., I work in New York, I work in fucking Iowa, wherever. Mm-hmm. And they come to Nashville and they do a session in Nashville and they're like, whoa, shit, I couldn't keep up.
Mm.
You know, I have a buddy who was like pro drummer, and he was like, man, he goes, I got hired to do something. And I was like, oh shit, they should have called someone else. And he goes, I could not keep up with how he goes, the pace of how fast it went and efficient. And he goes, people knew exactly what they were wanting to play, and it was like almost perfect the first time when we were doing recording. And he goes, I wasn't used to that. I was used to, oh man, we'll fill it out. Did it lunch break? Da da da. And he was like, these guys were like, hey man, we got 4 fucking songs to do in 3 hours. Here we go. I don't know. So he's like, man, new respect for Nashville. So with all that being said, I think it's cool that people are starting to, you know, they have been for a long time, but you know, it's nice that people are starting to seek Nashville guys, not just session guys either. Because like for a while, you know, session guys were the best in the world, and the road guys were, no one cared about them, you know. And it was like, well, these guys are out here fucking doing it every night. So, and they're great. They couldn't, you know, you can't have a gig doing something if you're not good at it. You know, people just aren't going to hire you. I mean, sometimes people hire you because they like you, but at some point in time, you still have to be able to do the job. And so people, you know, they've been, so for years, people based out of Nashville have been busting their ass doing things. And it's nice to see people like recognize them and, or show, or, you know, say, oh man, you guys probably have no idea who Miles is away from Paramore. You had no idea this guy had a career before Paramore and a massive career after Paramore, or what Jerry's been doing, or Kevin Murphy, or
Vince. But let's also, I just want to add, it's interesting you're pointing that out, because the way, you know, you stand back and it's like, but some of those guys, that seems by choice.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like Miles or Jerry do a certain thing as far as like the self-promoting thing.
No, no.
And I'm not knocking that because understand.
Yeah.
A lot of it has to do right with what people put out.
Totally.
And let's be real, man. I mean, a lot of the LA guys are just naturally better at that because
they're really good at promoting.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're just, it's like you said, this is a networking kind of town.
Yeah.
So I believe you.
Yeah.
You say that, and I get it.
Yeah.
Like you still have to go out and kiss babies and, you know.
Well, the in-person thing just works really well.
The in-person thing, it, I know.
Yeah, you know, you've done some interviews.
The in-person thing.
Yeah, the in-person thing works well.
It's a thing.
And you also are able to, like, have, like, real relationships. Like, this is funny. I remember playing gigs down Broadway where Jerry played bass and I played drums. So we were like down at like second fiddle, you know, this is, you know, when he was like 18 years old, you know, and it was like, so the networking here, and I say networking, but it's really friendships. You really end up getting friendships with everyone. You know, drummers love each other, guitar players, you know, everybody, it's a big love fest here for the most part. And we all hang out, like, just like yesterday, like, me, Miles, Kevin Murphy, Rob, and Ben Caesar all had dinner right before my gig yesterday. They made me late. But it was like,
and I was not invited.
But it's like, you know, we have that, you know, like, and then like Nick Buta was texting me about going to the drum show this weekend. He's like, dude, what day are you gonna go? I'm gonna go on this day. I was like, cool, let's go that day, you know. So it's like, you do end up, you know, as some things start off as business, it's cool when they just turn into like genuine friendships and your buddies.
Oh yeah.
No. And you can, and you know, you're
there's a community here. Yeah. And I know someone else said, you know, there's the community in LA seems stronger or better. I don't know. I've seen touches of both, I guess. Yeah. And it seems pretty similar.
Yeah.
Quite frankly.
It's here.
And there was a New York scene.
Yeah. No, I know.
It's just a lot of those guys have left.
Yeah.
Quite frankly.
Yeah.
But there was like that 55 bar vibe. Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, again, we're going to different scenes.
Yeah, totally.
And different genres.
Different genres,
But they all do that. They all... It's like a drummer thing.
Yeah. We literally all hang out.
Is it a guitar player thing? I don't think so.
I don't think so, no.
I mean, you can tell me differently in Nashville, but not... Guitar players are fucking guitar players.
We invite the guitar players in to the drum circle and the bass players.
You and drummers do, but I'm saying guitarists traditionally.
No, they don't hang out.
Right.
Yeah, no, they're.
That's what I'm saying.
They're too busy working on their tones.
Or they're just like, I can. Yeah. I don't like that guy. I don't know what it is. They're just a different breed, and everyone's a little different.
Yeah.
And they're those stereotypes, they exist.
That's true, yeah.
And like drummers just. Everywhere.
You know, I think, you know what's funny? This is far. I'm going on this.
Let's go out.
I think that the reason why drummers connect is because literally when we're playing the drums, we're connecting with the drums.
Yeah.
You know, we're drawing things out of the drums and we see each other and you go, man, how did you get that sound out of this? And it's not like I bought this Roland Brain or a lot. It's like, you're doing something to get something out of it. So when you watch your buddies play, you watch someone play, you're learning something. And then you want to, then if you're really into it, you want to get to know that person and go, man, what's their approach? Like there was this guy named Kenny Malone who played on, he's a beautiful drummer, played on all the Don Williams stuff. And I played on just a bunch of stuff, an older session guy.
You did the thing on the side stick. Yes.
Yeah. And this guy had such a touch, and he literally was like communicating with the drums. He was talking to the drums, and you see him play, you want to go, I want to know how you did that. Can you talk to me? And then you get to talk to him, and you go, his personality is in the drums.
Well, you're nailing what this show is really about, in the sense of like you get with someone, and it's like. Yeah, drums, but somehow the personality,
yes,
comes through.
Exactly, yes.
Like you hear it, and that, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, and through that, I feel like because we do that and we do a thing, that I feel like everyone is attracted to the drums.
Well, that's spiritual, it's tribal, it's ancient, it's that thing, like drums is the oldest.
It is, yeah, but people are drawn to it, and then people that do, like, I'm a drummer, you know, this person's a drummer, we do things differently, but we now have a deeper connection, so we can talk about it. We're like, man, like, how many strands do you have on the bottom of that snare drum, or, you know, or what cymbal is that, or, man, how did you get this sound out of this? And the guy's like, oh, man, I did this. And next thing you know, you guys are you're now sharing stuff. And you're not like, it's not like in a teaching way. You're just like, oh, man, what I did was I couldn't get that floor to do a thing, so I put some cotton in it. You're like, you did what? Oh, man, how'd you get this? Oh, man, you know, I flipped my stick around when I played the cross stick. You know, whatever. And all of a sudden, like, flipping your, talking about that shit turns into like, what's your favorite food? You want to grab coffee? You know, oh, man, how... Like, how's your wife? How's your kids? How's your ex-wife?
How many marriages have you had?
Yeah, exactly. You know, so I feel like because of the
how many cell phones do you have?
We gotta have two. Anyway, that's back in the day. Now you use this app for that. But anyway,
right.
You know, it's like because you are literally having this connection with the drums. People see it, and then we all have that same connection with making this instrument speak. Then we start to like speak to each other, and then we kind of we're drawn to each other. Like even like me and Miles has recently just discovered a mad love for 16-inch snare drums. And so I made a 16-inch snare drum for myself, 16x4, played it. I was like, dude, Miles, check this out.
Is he big and fat?
Yeah. He was like, dude, I want one of those. I was like, dude, I'll make you one. So I made Miles one, and he was like, fuck yeah, make me another one. So I made him two. So I have two.
What are you doing, using the shell, the 16, and cutting it? Or
so I get the shell cut already, and I just do all the drilling.
Oh, okay.
So I no longer have the ability to cut bearing edges and stuff like that.
Are you using, what's it called, the maple, what, the Keller? Are you using?
There's some Keller stuff, yeah. The first 16 I made was a cut down Pearl 4-tom.
Okay.
And then the drums I made for Miles are mahogany. So they're the mahogany poplar.
Nice.
So they're a little bit fatter, kind of.
Nice.
With wood hoops, and his are 10 lug, mine are 8 lug. I like 8 lug snare drums. He likes 10 lugs. So he's got 10 lug with wood hoops. I have.
You do the Gretsch thing.
Yeah. I have 8 lug with die cast hoops. So. But you know, it's like we both fell in, like, you know, I say we fell in love. I don't know if he fell in love with it or not, but he asked for two of them, so maybe he did. But you know, it's like we've been geeking out over that, you know. Even like the home studio thing too. Like Miles has one, Jerry has one, I have one, Kevin has one. A lot of us have them. Lester still has one. Marcus Finney, you know, like we all have them. And so even that stuff, just sharing, you know, in calling Nier, like, hey, Nier, oh, brother, you know, I'm like, oh, shit, okay, I don't have one of those, oh, I can't afford that. You know, just like, just even those things are just like connecting with each other over that was huge. Like, especially over 2020, it was like everybody was like ordering shit from Sweetwater and getting their home studios together because it was like, well, people still like music, people still want to make music, so let's be a part of that, you know. And so, even I remember just sharing, just like we're all just like, oh man, listen to this snare drum in this room. Here it is, group chat with 15 people. Everybody's like, oh yeah, dude, look, dude, check out my snare drum. Check, you know, I did this, or my room this, or I did this differently, you know. And we all helped each other out, like, huge. Like, it was way cool, for, you know, because there are some guys like McHugh who helped me out initially when I was doing it, who did not have to take the time to do it. I was like, hey man, so what do you think about these drum sounds? And he was like, that shit? No, he didn't say that. He's like, man, it's cool, but like, try this. And I try to go, oh, damn, that's a difference. I didn't know. I didn't know anything about compression, and I didn't, you know. I was like, I didn't know anything about this. Or I sent to Jerry, I was like, man, the client wasn't happy, not Jerry, but Miles, man, I just think this guy wasn't happy about it. And he was like, hey, he shouldn't be. It sounds like shit. I go, thanks, Miles. He goes, but you should do this. And I go, oh, yeah, you know. Or I talked to Lester, and he, you know, it's like, it, we were all just kind of sharing, you know, bits and pieces, different microphones, you know, snare drums or kick drums or whatever, you know, just, it was a whole thing. So it kind of goes back to what we're talking about, why, maybe why drummers are connected. It's like, you never stop. There's no, you know, there's an endless amount of sounds because we're all chasing sounds. We're all chasing sounds and feel, and there's endless amounts of feel. There's endless amounts of sound, you know. Like, I'll never sound like Jim Kilner. Jim Kilner will never sound like me. Good for him, because he probably doesn't want to sound like me. You know, but we chase that, you know. Like, man, I remember that Keltner thing on you know, on this Leon Russell thing, man. I want to, I can't do it, shit, but I'm gonna try to do it, you know. Or you go, man, there's a song, especially in country, like, man, there's this drum fill that Nier Z played on this one track. I can't, what the hell did you do? You call him up, be like, hey man, what'd you do? Oh man, well, I did this. And you go, oh, thanks. And you figure it out, you know. So it's like, there is, I feel like drummers have this really, even when we don't want to, we have this way of wanting to learn and share things, because it's the nature of the instrument, and it's kind of the nature of the people. Like, and I feel like the drummers who don't want to share with people are just like not fun people. You know what I mean? It's like, they're just like, oh, I'm going to keep the secret to myself. And it's like, well, fine. Enjoy your kitchen, or whatever, you know, whatever you want, you know what I mean? But it's like, but especially, I mean, I say especially here, but I've only lived here, but here, I feel like people are all about sharing, getting together, growing the community, you know, and just hanging, just like, man, let's just hang out. And I can't tell you how many gigs I've gotten just from hanging out with my buddies. Mm-hmm. Oh man, I can't do this session. Can you do it? Yes. You know, a couple weeks ago, I went out and subbed for someone, and they were like, the poor guys are like, we've called everybody, we can't find anybody. And a buddy of mine was like, man, if you want to go, he's the guy, you got to call him. And the band leader was like, man, like, we made a bunch of calls. He goes, I don't know you, so I was hesitant to call you. And he's true, he didn't know me. He goes, but literally everybody was like, call Keo. He goes, so I'm calling you. Can you come out and do this? I had to learn 20 songs in 24 hours.
Right.
And get on a bus with people I don't know, you know? And I was like, yeah, man, I can do it, you know? And it's like, but that came from the guy, people in the community going, this is the guy to call for this. You know, they could be like, oh, I'll do it. Or, you know, call him, call my friend. It was like, well, you want it done, call this guy. And it was cool that everybody was on board. Then it put pressure on me to make sure I did it right. You know, it's like, but it worked, you know?
Yeah.
So, wow, that was long-winded shit, but...
No, I get it, but I love it, man.
Yeah, long-winded shit, right, but...
No, it's good, man. It's good.
But, you know, I guess...
You got the passion. It's
without tearing up, I'm very happy. Like, I will say this. I'm very happy that I landed in Nashville. It's been really, really... It's been a really good experience. I've been here over half my life. I've met some of my best friends. I've met some people that I fucking hate also. But I've met a lot of my best friends. I met my daughter's mom here. You know, it's been great. Even my friends that are in Texas, I met them all here. You know, so it's all been a beautiful time being in Nashville. And I've made some of the best music. You know, I've said best music for me, not in general, but some of the best music just from connecting with people like... Working with like Kev Mo and Taj Mahal and those guys, it's like, man, that was a fucking freak phone call to just, you know, hey man, who do you know that plays drums? It could be cool. This guy Keo, cool. We'll hire him. You know what I mean? So, it's been really, really cool, and I'm happy. Like, I'm happy to have grown up here as an adult. Like, you know, when I moved here, I was definitely a stupid fuck, and now I'm just an old stupid fuck. but I've learned a lot. I've learned how to deal with people. I've learned how to like say yes. I've learned to say no. No is very important. You know, it's, you know, you can say yes to so many things and burn yourself out, or you know, you can say no and take some time and you know just regroup and then always, you know, because you always want to be your best or somewhat of your best. You know, so it's like don't say yes to everything so that when you know. By the time it's time for you to do something you really want to do, you're like, fuck, I'm so burnt out that I can't even give it 100%. You know, it's like, I should have said no to this $50 gig. I don't really need 50 bucks that bad. You know, or maybe I do, but stay home that day. You know what I mean? It's like, so, anyway. Yes.
No, I got you. I got you, man. No. Good stuff.
Anyway. Yes.
Anybody guess? Yeah. All right, listen. Good stuff. Yeah, thank you.
You got to go to bed.
I will. I'll turn the fridge on and, you know, what. I appreciate you, Tyrone. Thank you for...
You dropped me off. He's just, good. He's hanging.
Very quiet.
He's a good guy. You know the best thing about
Man
Tyrone?
Man, a few words.
Tyrone always has his cell phone off.
Well, he knows the studio life, doesn't he?
He does.
He's a Nashville guy.
He's a Nashville guy. He just hangs out. You know,
yeah,
it's funny. No one ever really fucks with me. No one ever goes, man, you played that wrong, the bridge wrong when Tyrone's there.
I guess you can take him with you for that fight in the octagon next year.
He's going to do the fighting for me.
With Buckley. Exactly. It's really Tyrone versus Buckley.
Yeah, Tyrone versus Buckley. But
Tyrone, you can take him, I'm sure. That I'm sure. All right, listen. Thank you, man. We'll do this again. Thank you.
Thanks, dude.